We're continuing on in these last words of Paul, and I believe by the grace of God, we'll... I've said it before, so you're going to, yeah, roll your eyes, but I think we only have tonight one more, so I don't know, but we'll trust the Lord in it. I'm sure we'll miss it if the Lord moves us on, but I know he'll move us on to more, so we'll trust God for it. But it's been a good time, praise his name. So go on over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we've been in these precious encouragements of Brother Paul, and these are commands and instructions that he's been given to, or giving to Timothy, giving to us. We understand that. We're in those shoes of Timothy, this torch, praise God, of this bridal message and this passion of love to win Christ as our bridegroom. These are instructions in perfect love. That's what this is, praise God. This isn't a manual. These are encouragements that is the reality of the race that we're running. Praise God, if we're going to run to win. And the things we'll face as we run to win Christ as Paul ran. And tonight we're going to come to a warning. Paul's given us some already in this precious letter. But as of late, we've seen Paul mention by name different ones in different ways we've seen. You know, the joy of commending the ones like Luke and Tychius, and how his heart just leaps for joy thinking of that fellowship that he has with them, the love of the truth that they have, and what it brings to his life, and the thankfulness to God that it's a lively hope, and it's in these brethren. He showed us that his heart was heavy. It was hurt when Demas left the truth. And tonight we come to a brother, and I will say a brother, because we will see different ways. We've studied this before. But truly, that has crossed a line that is so vile, so against the truth, so hurting ones that have run well, that we're going to read tonight. He turns this one over to Satan himself. And we'll begin reading tonight from verse 14 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Alexander, his name means the defender of men. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The defender of men. You can perceive in hearing that meaning where his heart lied. His heart's desire lied in man, not in God's word or in God's thinking. Paul, however, we know stood in the defense of the gospel. Paul did not stand in defense of man. He was there to help man one way, and that was to preach the word. So I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read a little bit more about Alexander that Paul wrote earlier in a letter to Timothy a couple of years earlier regarding this same one. In verse 19 of chapter 1 of Timothy, 1 Timothy, he encourages Timothy, holding faith. And if you remember and recall the study in that, we've touched on it many different times. That word holding means to have and to hold. It has a very wonderful underlying meaning of bridal love, the marriage, praise God. Those words are only spoken that I really have ever been cognizant of is at a marriage. You take to have and to hold, right? And to have and to hold. That's between a husband and a wife. So what Paul is speaking of here, and it's important to take this in context, but You know, how could you not take 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy in context? This is about the bridal message. This is it. I mean, this is right to the one that's going on with it. And Timothy, here it is. And brother, I'll tell you what, you're going to be happy, happy, happy if you just go in the things of God. So he's encouraging him in this most holy faith, this bridal faith, holding faith, and a good conscience. And he says here, which some having put away. So some have pushed this away from themselves. Some of them don't want this. Now, we understand that to get to this point of even receiving this, you know, this person had to be saved. This person that would push this away from themselves and not want, they would have it, but yet they just disregard it. All right? And by doing that, by putting it away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck of it, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, there he is, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. All right? And I want you to understand something here. This isn't speaking of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. This isn't the impartible sin that someone would do as far as rejecting Christ as their Savior. This blaspheme means evil. And it's wonderful because concerning the faith, he said, I turned you over to Satan, and I'm going to tell you something, guys. You're going to get a lesson here. You're going to get a lesson not to do evil, and especially evil towards the things and the people of God. So this was very sensitive to Paul. This was very, you think of the ones that are listed here at this very end letter, commending ones like Luke and Tychius and then Demas, one that was so close to him, preaching that wondrous word and all of that. And yet here he comes to another one in the Word of God. He said he didn't just leave. He tried to destroy. He tried to destroy. He tried to hurt the truth. Now, notice again this brokenness, in a sense, that destroy, in a sense, this shipwreck, this broken ship of faith. It didn't say he withstood Paul. It said that he withstood the words that were spoken by Paul. See, when you come up against someone in the truth, when you're trying to come up against someone who's standing in the truth, you don't realize you're not coming up against them. You're coming up against God. See, when someone touches you, I want you to understand this. They're touching the apple of God's eye. They're dealing with God. And I thank the Lord for that. I mean, we have a jealous God who loves us with a godly jealousy. And it's a jealous love. And that's how God loves. And we've read this. We've studied how God, he thinks nothing of taking out a city for one. For just one. All right? So let me tell you something. He really loves you. So He'll do the same and more, and he's doing more. And we know this in the Word. So, see, he spoke, he was against the high calling of God message, the doctrine of what Paul was preaching. And Alexander became so vile and that he began to overthrow the faith of some of the brethren. And so Paul, it says here, he delivered him unto Satan. And once again, this isn't that he delivered this one into condemnation. But I'll tell you what, he'll just give you over. And we'll read this here in 1 Corinthians here in just a minute. But once again, you'll learn not to do evil against the people of God. You'll learn. And especially the people of God will learn. See, the heathen may get away with it for till that day. Don't get me wrong. They might. But there's a comeuppance. We know that. But the people of God, let me tell you something. There's a price to pay. And there is. To whom has been given much, much is required. Now, this is very necessary when Christians, and I'm talking about Christians, when they put away, when they reject that faith, if they decide they want to be led by the prince and the power of this air to be their master, brothers and sisters, we need to understand you got to let them go. You're going to have to let them go. Now, this again doesn't mean that he lost his salvation, but we read about a brother that was in a similar situation. Let's go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this gives a little bit more insight into what was going on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and there's an issue there. There is a brother in this meeting, and he's stumbling others with promoting incest in the that it's acceptable and it's okay in the Christian walk. There were sons that were sleeping with their mothers and in their with their stepmothers and things. It was a disaster. And this wasn't trying to get people to, you know, live a certain way or anything of that. This was coming up against the truth. It wasn't the particular sin. It was what was going on with ones that were trying to distort the truth. And it was hurting the walk of the people. There was a discord which God hates, which was going forth. And what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, this is what the Lord encouraged through Paul. He said, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." So you see that? Paul understood and believed God. It's just like that wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn. It's going to burn. But God's faithful. But God's faithful. And he can't deny himself. And he won't do that. The seed remains. But this, again, is just turning one over to such a thing. Now, if you know this and how it goes on into 2 Corinthians, it didn't mean that Paul didn't ever want to see this one restored to fellowship. Because the Lord wants us to pray, and the Lord wants us to seek God. Those are great and mighty miracles and things God can do to bring them back. And this brother was restored back to fellowship in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But we need to realize, brothers and sisters, anything that shipwrecks the faith in Paul's gospel is the most vile thing. And it really is the most vile thing. And you have to think about it. What did the merchant give all that he had? Was for that goodly pearl. This is hurting the Lamb's wife. And Hagin, I just tell you, I think you'd give your life for that precious jewel sitting next to you. That's even an insult even to say, I think. It's just what is. And I'll tell you what, you wanted to get my mother riled up? Talk about my dad. Want to get my dad incensed? Touch my mom. How much more so Christ Jesus and the wife that is readying? You see? And I just sit there and I tell people. I see people sometimes going after you. I see the wolves coming after you sometimes. But I know you're aware. And I think they don't know what they're doing. But God's going to let them know real quick. And I shudder sometimes to think what God will do. And I've seen him do it. I've seen him take people out. And not just once, but many times. Now, look what Paul said to the Galatians about one's preaching. That perfection comes by flesh and by works. And not by grace. What did he say to them? Let them be accursed. Right? Think of these words that Paul uses. That the Holy Ghost allows Paul to use. And matter of fact, not just allow, but wills Paul to use. I mean, accursed is a strong word. I mean, that's a very strong word. And he's talking about, again, brethren. Think of the things that he told them, and he chastened them. He says, you know, you should be preaching the meat of the Word of God. I got to feed you now back with milk. But before we even got to that point, he said, anybody who's going to stand in this and not be corrected in it, but truly go forward with it and preach legality to people that know the grace of God, let them be accursed. As he said, if I come and preach any other gospel to you, let me be accursed. That's like a spell of a witchcraft, because that's the spell of the enemy that's on that person. Do you understand this? I mean, this is serious. And it's serious when people divert God's precious people. And I'm talking about people that are running for God's best. and divert them with things that will miss the mark. Amen. 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 We'll get further into this, and I think it'll really come to light here in a minute that I'll tell you what, God's kept us. He said, veering saints away from the mark, the course to win. Instead, I'll tell you what, it always results in a shipwreck of faith. It doesn't ever work out even kind of good. You leave this gospel, it's a shipwreck. And it always is. Now, brothers and sisters, we do need to receive this and understand this is God and His love trying to wake us up. But know this, but for the grace of God and us staying in sound words, I want you to know this, there is no limit of what the devil can do with you. There really isn't. And my heart understands a little bit of what Paul is experiencing here, and it got a little bit overwhelming. But he turned Alexander and those that followed in that suit, he turned them over to God, and he said, reward them according to their works. See? We know that we're not after God rewarding us according to our works. We understand we are His workmanship. We understand that that reward, praise God, is of grace and mercy and what we've received and taken from Him. And you know that those churches, when it speaks of the other churches, when it speaks of works, it was never in a good light. And so this was the working of the enemy. And so he just said, I'll tell you what, the Lord's going to deal with you and reward you in this. And you know what that reward would be. It would be some harsh awakening. I want you to listen to David. He had a similar experience in Psalm 55. Go on over to Psalm 55. And how sweet David in his heart, even though he's a bloody man, he had a tender heart. And I'll tell you what, when you hurt David, you hurt him. In verse 12, it says, wickedness is in, no, excuse me, verse 12. For it was not an enemy. It wasn't an enemy that reproached me. He said, if it was an enemy, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide. Did you hear that? My guide. And mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked unto the house of God in company. Now this was most likely, this could be speaking about, was Ahithophel, who was David's very close advisor. He was an advisor in the things to David. And he betrayed David, and he began counseling Absalom in how to overthrow David. That's what happened. Now, Ahithophel and Alexander, I think, are examples of how often it is those that were of like precious faith who turned away, they're the ones that do the most harm. And I'm talking the most harm to the people of God. And I will tell you this, over the years, it's not the government, it's not other religions, but it's truly from the household of faith. Because God's word said it would be that way. It's where the greatest injuries can happen. And I've seen it even some that were in positions of preaching and pastoring, even grace and gospel meetings. They tried to do the most harm to this meeting more than anything. Now, the cost of turning away from the glorious gospel can be a life of trying to destroy those who love it. Isn't that interesting? That's the cost of it. When the enemy gets a hold of you, you have no idea the limits to your rebellion. Ask Absalom. I would have to say David is probably the most loving father there could ever be. He doted on Absalom more than any of his other children. Absalom, in a sense, as a man, was probably more naturally like David than any of them. And yet he turned not only on his own father, he turned not only on the king of Israel, he turned on the man after God's own heart. Think of the witness that he saw growing up. Think of all the things that he had heard. And yet he was so incensed in turning against the things of God that he fully turned himself over to taking out God's anointed. I mean, there were others that hated David, just like David said, get in line. I had lots that hated me, lots that were against me. But it was this one that hurt. He was a man of my equal. He was a man that we went to take counsel from God together. And yet he turned to destroy me. Oh God, help us. Now here is how the Lord encouraged David to deal with them. It might shock you. Verse 15. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. All right? So, I'll tell you what, you better seek God. As Paul turned them over to Satan, David says, well, I'll tell you what, Lord, let them go down quick into hell if that's what they're going to take. Let them understand what's going on. God doesn't mess around with those who come up against his word. He protects his word, brothers and sisters. He loves his word. Just always has, always will, always does. That's what he does. You know, there is old Elisha out there and all them prophets of Baal, and he was, you know, that was it. And, you know, he was going to be the only one. But God knew and drew him to him and said, you know what, son? I'm going to show them all. And God protected him because why? God protects his word. Why did God protect David? God protects his word. Why did God protect Joseph? Because God protects his word. That's how it's going to be magnified. Know this. God protects you. I tell you, he circled you out to love his truth. Trust him. Trust him. Lord, enlarge my steps. So, going back to our text tonight, look what Paul says in verse 15, back there in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He says, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So be aware of these things. Understand? You know what? They don't just hate the truth, they hate the bridal truth. They hate the bridal truth. And oftentimes they can appear so subtly good. Let me tell you, the enemy, the devil's very subtle. That's that snake. Oh, you can taste that. You can eat from that. Then you'll be enlightened like God. Huh? Don't ever think that any of us could ever come in our own selves against Satan. He'll destroy us every time. And that means I better have one thing, the word. Or I'm going to be given over to it. You know, you have to look at these lives in the word of God. You think about King Saul, a man anointed of God, anointed to be king. God rejected him. And it wasn't just because he turned away from the word. He turned the people away from the word of God. There was a difference. He was stumbling brethren. It was abomination to God. And God allowed that evil spirit to come upon him. And it was evil. It was so evil, it kept trying to put a javelin through God's anointed and the one after God's own heart. Think of these things. And this was one that went to seek a witch at the very end. How far was he going to be given over to the enemy, to Satan himself? Huh? But God's so faithful. When Samuel showed up, "You'll be with me before the day's out, son." What you think about that, huh? Okay. It's kind of all coming together with what we're talking about here. That's how destroyed a life can be. And think about what it destroyed of Saul. It took the line, the king's line, from his hand. All of his household was destroyed. All that was left was Mephibosheth. That's how lean it gets. There's a cost. God forbid we'd ever face something like that. All right. But see, what it told Paul and what it taught him was, don't look for help from anyone else. God's allowed this. I've allowed this. Paul said, "None stood with me." Going with God, brothers and sisters, is not about numbers. It's not about getting people around you to try to encourage you. You better learn to encourage yourself in the Lord, or you're going to be in a bad way. I thank God you encouraged me, but I tell you what, I know one thing's encouraging me, and that's Jesus. So, going with God, it is a lonely place. It's about love and devotion to the Word, and you won't find many that want that. Paul found there was none, but it was divine because God was revealing something to him regarding this hurt and offense. And it's right there in verse 17 and 18. He said, in verse 16, after he said, "My first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." It hurt Paul. He was shocked. "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." This is embarrassing. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." See, it all changed in a minute, in a minute, in a minute. God's working to get this together for my good. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had to get me alone. He had to show me that He is my rock. He is my fortress. I'm not preaching this word because people are excited about the word of God. I'm preaching this word, praise God, because it's the love of God. It's the grace of God that is with me. So he said, and he strengthened me. He strengthened me that by my preaching it might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. I'm thinking that God gave him a vision of us. He knew God was transcending time. This Paul we're talking about. You say, this guy must have been nuts. He's writing this at the very end of this letter. Probably in the next few days, his head's coming off. But all the Gentiles, I'm going to preach to them. Oh, yes, you did, Paul. And thank God for you, brother. Hallelujah. It made it through. Woo! There wasn't anything stopping it. Nothing. And that's why he was strengthened. I'm confident God gave him a vision. All through the ages. To that time of the coming of the Lord. See, Paul knew at this time, my departure is going to be my head. God's going to take me to the subway. I'm good with it. But I'll tell you one thing. He didn't forsake me. He strengthened me. I'm strengthened right now because this message is going forth to all the Gentiles. And never forget this. The Gentiles, praise God, when Paul mentions that, he's speaking here of those saved Gentiles. They're going to hear the high calling message. They're going to love it. They're going to go with it. Oh, hallelujah. And that it would be fully known. Praise God. What a prophecy. And it's been made known. And that And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And they'd say, well, wait a second, you got your head taken off. Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what, that devil, he never got me down. I overcame. That's what that means. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we close this out, God is for you. He's for you, honeys. He's for you. And he's for you because not because of your actions. He chose you because he loves you. Okay? He loves you. And he chose you and he circled you out for his word. And by the grace of God, he will prevail. And he'll prevail in you. And he will. He said, remember, I'll perform the good work which I've begun in you. And to that day, praise God, I'll accomplish in that thing that I've sent. Praise God, right? I'll perfect that which concerns you. See, these aren't words to us. This is God's promise to me. God's promise to you. Amen? So we thank the Lord. He stands with us. He's for us. Because by his grace, he foreknew we would stand in his word. We would stand in his word. Not perfect people, making lots of mistakes. But he also knew one. His name was David. He knew all of David's mistakes. But the one thing he knew he would write about David, his heart was perfect toward me. His heart was perfect toward me. All right? Now, perfect means I trust God for everything. My faith is in his faithfulness. My faith is in his unending love for me. My faith is in his desire and his will that will be done in me. Praise God. David got that. And he strengthened him. And he'll strengthen you. And he'll strengthen us for the continuance of the gospel in our lives. And I thank the Lord this meeting is a glowing example of the testimony of God's faithfulness. And God's faithfulness to one thing, his word. Not to 1701 South Sherman, not to any person, but faithfulness to his word. He cannot lie. He can't lie. He's faithful to his word. Moses had good talks with God about that. One time Moses was ready to wipe them all out and start over, and then God was, and each one reminded each one, but your word and your promise. God knew all along and he smiled and he says, that's my boy. Amen. He gets us to those places to have some really good conversations with him. But I'll tell you what, the ones that I've seen come up against this truth, those meetings are no longer. And that's the truth. I didn't have to go out and do anything. I didn't. Didn't have to form a committee. You know, how are we going to defeat this? What are we going to do? Threatening letters, often. Put them in a very important file. Always. Immediately. Round and gone. That's the truth. God will deal with that. That's hurtful. It's hurtful. It's like a crazy Nebuchadnezzar growing long fingernails and looking like a beast. Acting like a dog when you're a lamb. Shame. But we testify that he stands with us, don't we? And he strengthens us continually. He shelters us and he shelters this place. And he does. He hides us. I think he's shown us this past year. He's hidden us away. And I thank God. I give him all the glory and my boast is in the Lord. And we know that we don't worry. And if we see things come up, we have a promise that he always delivers, that he preserves. Praise God. And he will get the glory. Now, I believe Hebrews 10 kind of gives us a short little synopsis of our life and the time we're at and the keeping of God upon us. And in Hebrews 10, verse 32, it says, "Call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated." That wasn't just enlightened. I'm talking illuminated. That means you lit up. Praise God. Little sun glories. Hallelujah. "And ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyful the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Isn't that gorgeous? See, this is our lives. And when you see this truth, when you by grace receive this illumination, praise God, the afflictions come. But I'm going to tell you something. Moreover, you will endure. You will persevere. And I was just rejoicing so sweetly with brother before I came here. That word that we know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that sufferings means perseverance. To persevere. Just to endure. And I'll tell you what, with what he's shown us, we endure gladly. And that confidence, as it says here, is going to be greatly rewarded. That patience is being built in us, and it's going to hit the mother lode payday. He will come, and his reward will be with him. And in due time, praise be to God, he will exalt us together with him. It's just what it is. It's just the word of God, and it's coming. Praise God. And so for us, we'll close with this verse in Proverbs 20, 22. I got to be reminded of this once in a while. Not as much as used to be. Thank God for his working. But sometimes there's a knuckle sandwich I want to give. "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." Know this, he appoints the evil, and sometimes the evil isn't just from sinners, but from brethren, and very close brethren. But God has only one thing always in it for us. He meant it for good. He meant it for good. And our exceeding great reward is multiplying through it all. Because praise be to God, we suffer, but we're going to reign. Amen. We're going to reign. And I thank God for that. And that's why Paul, as he wrote these last things, how thankful. How thankful he was. And how God, as we'll see, Lord willing, next week, maybe the final study in this little theme he's put us in. That last encouragement, all love, all the good report, the thankfulness to God. Those ones, full purposed, that ran to win Christ. Praise his name. Let's stand, be dismissed.